Is there anything more universally gripped in the human experience or the human psyche more than this longing for something better than this? What am I saying here? Like, I feel like the majority of humans all agree. This is across cultural spectrums, religious spectrums, socioeconomic spectrums. It's on every continent. It's in every city, every corner of the earth. The majority of humans tend to believe that there is something better than what we are experiencing here. It's not that we only experience bad and evil and mess and junk here, but it's a lot of it. And we often just kind of throw our hands up in the air and we just kind of take this collective sigh as if to say, man, there's just got to be something better than this. And for many people, again, across cultures, across religious platforms, there is a belief that there is indeed something else that's better. And I'm suggesting that this is not only, you know, this isn't something that I think is the case. It's not something that I'm guessing is the case. The research bears it out. There have been studies done on this forever. In America, over 80% of Americans believe in an afterlife. You know, they don't label it as heaven or something, but they believe that there's something after this. The majority of folks believe that there is something after this, and they believe that something is better. The proof that they believe that in most cases it's something better is because there are over 80% who believe in heaven or an afterlife, but less than that, less than 50% believe that there is its counterpart, hell. People believe that there is something better than what we are experiencing here. For those of us who believe in God, for those of us who are Christians, those of us who are folks who follow Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, we believe that something better is heaven. Heaven is the place that is the escape from this pain. Heaven has so gripped our collective imagination that heaven is not even the exclusive language or vernacular of religious folks. I mean, think about popular culture and popular songs. I lost count how many secular songs, I'm talking about top 40 hits, that are on the theme of heaven. Led Zeppelin had a hit song called Stairway to Heaven. Most of you might know this, that the OJs also had a hit song called Stairway to Heaven. Stevie Wonder had a famous song, Heaven Help Us. And Bonnie Tyler, you know, the raspy singing female singer, had a song called Heaven. Bob Dylan, this singing poet and prophet in many ways, knocking on heaven's door. Coldplay, I love Coldplay. You're not supposed to admit that you like Coldplay. They had a song called Paradise. I love that song. Belinda Carlisle, back in the 80s, Heaven is a Place on Earth. Eric Clapton, his toddler son, tragically walked off the ledge and fell and died. And he wrote a song in tribute to his son called No Tears in Heaven, or Tears in Heaven. And then John Legend and others, Beyonce. I mean, there's so many folks that have a song simply entitled Heaven. Across musical genres, country music, R&B, hip-hop, folk music, pop music, metal music, classical, they all have within that genre a song about heaven. You can come up with your own playlist. Perhaps I'll create a playlist and I'll post it somewhere for you to download some songs, popular songs about heaven. For our discussion's sake, I want you to consider this, that something better is on the mind of all humans, the majority of humans. And for many, heaven is that something better. And for the next several weeks, we want to talk about heaven. When it comes to heaven, our hearts and minds are flooded with images of ecstasy and euphoria. Heaven is it's the great escape from the mundane, from pain and from suffering. Heaven is the place where we seek reunions. Heaven is the place where all that is imperfect is perfected. How much of what we long for in heaven is generated by our reading of Scripture, and how much is of our own creation? Our goal in this series is to find a healthy intersection of what we long for and what God longs for us in regards to heaven. I want to read a text from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, a familiar passage that you might know by heart. This is Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 9. Jesus is talking. He says, "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." In this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, there are two glaring points that I want us to think about. It stands out in this text regarding our topic of heaven. First, and this is the logical place to start when talking about heaven, is that God, our Father, to whom Jesus say we are to pray, teaches us to pray to, the Father is identified as God who is dwelling in a place we call heaven. There is much we can discuss about heaven regarding where it is and who is there and who's going there and who's not going there. But before entering any of those discussions, it must be firmly established that heaven is the place where God lives. It's the place where he dwells. It is his place. It's his home. This was the overwhelming understanding that was embodied by the ancient Hebrews who wrote about this and sung about this and prayed about this. And we have this collection in the Old Testament, these scriptures that speak of God's dwelling place. Take, for instance, Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse number 15. Look down from your holy habitation, from heaven, and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have given us, as you swore to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. Second Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 20, at the dedication of the temple, may your eyes be opened day and night toward this house, the place where you promised to set your name, and may you heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. And hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. May you hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Hear and forgive. Nehemiah, who's leading the construction of the walls around Jerusalem, Nehemiah's writing in his diary, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." In the songbook of the Hebrews, the Psalm 11:4, this is simply a sampling. It's all over the book of Psalms. Psalm 11, verse number 4, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind." Psalm 102, verse number 18, "Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet unborn may praise the Lord, that he looks down from his holy height from heaven, the Lord looked at the earth. Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 15. Isaiah says, look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation. And this is what the Lord says about himself and his dwelling place. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Heaven in the Old Testament was both a designation to the skies. So you often see writers talk about, look up toward the heavens, talking about the skies and the stars and all the thing that when you look up, you see and you behold. So it was both a designation to the skies and this other earthly place where God lives. And from this glorious habitation, God makes connection with humans. Now, this brings us to the second glaring idea from this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. What on earth does this mean? Why is Jesus teaching his disciples to pray such a bold and an odd prayer? Why would a prayer about heaven making its presence on earth capture the imagination of a disciple? Why should it capture the imagination of a disciple? You know, imagination is a powerful tool. This feature is so powerfully has been witnessed in the course and life of a particular group of people, a group of people that some would regard as some of the most mistreated in American history. I have long admired the deep faith, the deep spiritual faith of those who were victims of slavery here in America. Not only do I hold a genetic connection, many of you, I think I've told, my father's father, so my paternal grandfather, was born in 1868. I'm only 49 years old, and it's kind of hard to imagine that my grandfather was born in 1868. He was born in South Carolina, Lancaster, South Carolina, and his parents would have been about 3-4 years removed from being emancipated as slaves. My father's grandparents were slaves. So there's a genetic connection to this story, but there's also a spiritual connection of which not only am I connected to, but all of us. And the way that many of us have been connected to this spiritual ancestry, this spiritual a life of those in the slaves is through the music and the songs. The Negro spirituals have become a part of the church's hymn book. These songs that many, you know that they're a Negro spiritual, some you don't know that it's a Negro spiritual. These songs were born out of the experience of slavery, slaves, African Americans in the pain and in the heat of the day, singing these songs that have made their way into every church and has been part of our spiritual formation. Songs like Deep River. Here are the lyrics to Deep River. I think they're on the screen. Deep River, my home is over Jordan. Deep River, I want to cross over into campground. Deep River, my home is over Jordan. Deep River, Lord, I want to cross over into campground. Campground is heaven. Songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see coming for to carry me home? A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Home is heaven. Steal away. My Lord calls me, he calls me by the thunder, the trumpet sound within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. That's a song about heaven. Here's another song, Heaven, Heaven, going to shout all over God's heaven. I've got a robe, you've got a robe, all of God's children got a robe. That should be God's chilling. That's how he said. All of God's chilling got a robe. When I get to heaven, going to put on my robe, going to shout all over God's heaven. There's also another verse of this song that I didn't include there where part of the word says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. A song about heaven. You might be asking, why are the vast majority of the songs that were born out of this painful time, why are the vast majority of these songs born out of this harsh period, why are most of these songs about heaven? Well, I would say that what they experienced is the epitome of the human experience. What's that? We live on this earth full of pain and disappointment and misfortune and disorientation and death and tragedy and chaos and confusion. Church, the pain is real. And the pain is so extreme that we long for something more. We long for something better, something that affords us joy and love and happiness and relief and bliss and the opposite of all the junk and mess that we have to deal with on this earth. So we sing songs like Deep River, I Want to Cross Over into Campground. That's heaven. A band of angels carry me home. That's heaven. The trumpet sound within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here because I want to go to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my robe. I'm going to shout all over God's heaven. What African-American slaves longed for was a home beyond the skies, away from this earth and the evils that it offered. This sentiment was not only embraced and sung by slaves, as many of you have experienced in the hymnody of the Christian church. The hymnody is replete with songs about heaven. Those of you who've grown up in a church, you grew up singing songs about a longing for something more, a longing for something better. There'll be no tears in heaven. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Some glad morning, I'll fly away. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. Now here are the lyrics to a song you might know. Oh well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go alone till the Lord comes and calls. Calls me away, oh yes, well, the morning so bright and the lamp is alight and the night is as black as the sea. Oh yes, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. That's heaven. We long to be taken away to heaven, to be where God is, to sit in his living room, to be in his presence. Now I want you to think of this. Jesus wants his disciples to pray that the reality would be experienced here on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Jesus understands that the earth is limited in what it can offer in terms of relief and the bliss that we seek, the escape from all the pain and suffering. He still calls his disciples to bring some heaven to earth. Over the next few weeks, we will look at some of the images depicted in Scripture that describe heaven. Some will be familiar, others less familiar. Some easy to see, others hard to comprehend. That said, what is real and accessible right now, something that we all identify with, is this longing. A longing to be with God, to be away from here. It's a longing we all have, and God's implicit desire is to meet that longing right now here on earth. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, wonderful author, he wrote this: "Heaven is not a faraway place we hope to go someday. Through Christ, it is very near. It is the control room of earth, and as we follow Jesus, the reality of heaven comes alive in us and is unleashed through us. Heaven will not be a boring place, off in a distant space where we play harps, sit on clouds, and sing the same stanza of the same song forever. Heaven is God's space, filled with peace, justice, and beauty. Heaven and earth are overlapping realities, and the resurrection of Jesus has connected these two spheres more closely than we know." I alluded to it earlier as I was listening to these popular songs, but back in the 80s, there was a popular song by Belinda Carlisle called "Heaven is a Place on Earth." Ooh, heaven is a place. You know the song I'm talking about? I know y'all been singing it ever since I said it. I'm certain that Belinda Carlisle was singing about a love interest. But captured in her hit single is this thought: that love and happiness is possible here on earth. What do you all think of this? Heaven is something God is longing to express through us toward others. That said, people don't need to be relegated to living in a hell, but faced with a glimpse of heaven. See, that's the tragedy of slavery in my mind, is that earth was so bad, so despicable, so grotesque for the slaves, that the only thing that they could hold on to were these songs about heaven. When they could have been in a position where other humans could have demonstrated heaven to them. I know this is a tall task for us, church, but part of our call as disciples is to demonstrate and display heaven towards others while we're on earth. And while we're on earth, Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we believe in heaven, justice is right. So we ought to be doing justice right here. See, we believe in heaven, it's all love. Well, it needs to be all love here. We believe in heaven, it's going to be open to all races and all cultures, across socioeconomic differences. Well, we ought to have that same sentiment here on earth. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know it's a tall task, church, because seemingly it seems like the bad and the pain and the suffering and the icky and the mess and it feels like that's winning, and there's no escape from all of that. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus didn't tell us to pray that just so that we could say some words. He asked us to pray, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," because he envisions, he imagines, he calls us to bring the reality of heaven, God's living room, here to earth. It's interesting, when we get to Revelation, we're going to spend some time in Revelation looking at some of the images there. We're going to count how many times John looked up. John wrote Revelation. We're going to see how many times John looked up and he saw heaven coming down. Heaven coming down to earth. That's no mistake. It's how God has envisioned it. For the reality of heaven to take place here on earth. And we are the ones to bring that reality. Heaven is God's space. And Jesus said, pray that God's space overlaps our space on earth. As we explore images of heaven, let us not let go of that glorious vision that Jesus gave us. On earth, as it is in heaven. And it's in this space our longing to be home is met with a glimpse of heaven, even as we wait.
There's a place we long for, no matter where the road takes us. We feel it deep in our bones when storms threaten. When darkness falls, we look for light, shelter, a door always open to us where we find comfort, food and friendship, a place to grieve, a place to celebrate, to know and be known, a place of permanence, a place to call home. And though no dwelling built by human hands can last, when we fill our homes with love, welcome friend and stranger, we get a glimpse of what is to come. A place that stands prepared, full light, where no tear will fall, and goodbye is never uttered, where we will no more long for home.
As we wait, we long and we try to create space here on earth that gives, it's only going to be a glimpse. I don't know that we could ever recreate what heaven will be. But we can offer a glimpse. And that's what it means for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise team, you can come to the stage. There's some folks that I miss that used to be members of our church, come to our church. One of the guys, his name is Charlie. Y'all remember Charlie? They used to come, Charles and Harry and some other guys. We met through Summer Raise. And I remember I would speak at Summer Raise, which is a rehab, sober living program here in Reynoldsburg. And I remember speaking at a Summer Raise event, and I was inviting people to come to church here at the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. And I said something like, oh, man, we want you to come and be a part of our worship service. We want you to know it's a no-judgment zone. This is a place where you're going to be received as family. You can come in, let your hair down, take your shoes off, and just enjoy the presence of God and the presence of God's people. Now, as I said that, I was fully thinking that I was giving a metaphor when it came to the idea of letting your hair down and taking your shoes off. But then Charlie visits, and the first Sunday he gets here, he sits down in a chair, and he takes off his shoes. And he does that with his hair, and he leans back. And so he did that for several weeks. And so I went up to him one Sunday. I said, Charlie, why do you keep taking your shoes off, bro? He says, you said, come in here, take off your shoes, and relax. I love that he felt like this was a place kind of felt like home. I think that's what God is asking us to do in the world. To create a space where people feel at home, even as they long for that home. So as we talk about heaven over the next several weeks and we talk about all the things that may blow our minds away, maybe overwhelm us, underwhelm us, I don't know. Let's not forget our responsibility here while we long for home. So we sing this next song, if there's a way that we can be helpful to you through prayer, through conversation, through company. If you want to respond to God and Jesus, his offer of grace and his love, if you want to place faith in him, you want to be baptized into him, you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you can make that known. Let's stand. Let's sing this song together, all the heavens.